Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, back from vacation and excited to be doing this show tonight with Paul Seidenzahl. Seidenzahl?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you living with me mispronouncing that. But we're going to talk about Derrick Henry's contract. And there's a lot to discuss here. There's a lot of meat here. We're not going to go through every element of how this is done. If you want that, you know, Brian McFarland has good information about that. And you can talk about him. We're really talking about a lot of the wisdom of the contract, a lot of other elements of Henry's play in 24. We obviously had a fantastic season. The question is, how much of it was him? How much of it was playing with Lamar Jackson or the scheme in Baltimore or whatever else? But anyway, Paul, appreciate you joining me for this.
No problem, Ken. Glad to be here.
Yep. Your idea too. So I want you to start it off, and maybe we start by talking at the original deal that Henry signed, which really seems cheap at this point.
Yeah, definitely does. 2 years, $16 million with $9 million guaranteed. And of course, with the extra $5 million in incentives over the 2 years, which he hit 4 out of 5 last year to add $2 million. So that was pretty good contract at the time, you know, for a running back of his, even of his stature at his age. So that was pretty much right in line. I think at the time I might've thought it might be a little rich, but not much. It was pretty much right where I thought it should be.
All right. I have to admit that I was not fully on board with the thing. It's definitely lukewarm on the deal, you know, and I've been, what I've said the whole time is, if he stays healthy, it'll probably be a good deal. And that's the same, I'll say, for the next 3 years. If he stays healthy, it's probably going to be no problem. It's going to be a very good deal. If he gets hurt, that's a different matter. And running backs his age do tend to miss time. So it's something that has to be considered. You know, one of the things that I've also said, though, about Henry is he's kind of proven himself to be a little bit like the Nolan Ryan of running backs. Now, Frank Gore would take offense to that and he'd say, no, I am, or Adrian Peterson, who played late into their career. But the conditioning freaks who can manage to stay healthy often have training regimens like Henry has. There aren't very many total people who can do it, and there aren't very many total people who can maintain enough speed that they're still a valuable back at that age.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to his size, because typically the running back is taking the punishment. And a lot of times with him, he's dishing out the punishment. So he's a lot bigger than a lot of the guys that are hitting him, unlike, you know, the majority of other backs who aren't. And that stuff adds up over time and accumulates. But with him, he's just so big. I mean, you stand next to him, he is an absolute monster of a human being. And I think that definitely helps him, you know what I mean, in that regard.
All right, so we don't know what was in the background of the castle. One of the things Eric DaCosta said this offseason is he has a lot of balls in the air. You and I did a show before, actually, I think it might have been a series of shows, where we looked at the contracts that could be put in place for the younger players, specifically the guys who went through year three in 2024, plus Owe, the possibility of other players like Hamilton, who did go through year three, but also has an option to go with that, that they could have been signed early. And obviously that's going to be one of the things we're going to need to get back to at the end of this. But it seems like there might have been something else we didn't hear about the Derrick Henry contract situation. Possibly something where he was telling the Ravens, hey, look, I'm not playing under this contract a second year.
One of the things I was thinking about when I was going over this in my head was there could be something we don't know, you know, behind the scenes that was going on, exactly what you were thinking, because on the surface, I didn't understand it, to be quite frankly. I mean, to be quite frank with you, I just really didn't. And the only thing I could think of was, is there something we don't know? And, right. and that could very well be the case.
Well, good for the Ravens and good for Henry for not airing their grievance publicly and instead just acting like adults, going to the table and discussing it there. I think that's not always the case. And we look around the rest of the league, I don't think that's always been the case. I didn't even feel like the Lamar Jackson contract negotiations a couple of years ago, as weird as they were, and, you know, agentless is not good, generally speaking, were acrimonious in the way that we've seen Trey Hendrickson's situation right now, or George Pickens' situation. And you could even talk about the Rashad Bateman situation. We don't know what was going on with that either, but the Ravens somehow gave him permission to shop himself around the league.
Correct. And again, that's just stuff we wish we could know, but sometimes a lot of stuff comes out, but a lot of stuff doesn't come out. So what the impetus was for a lot of these deals getting done, because I definitely didn't have on my bingo card Rashad Bateman and Derrick Henry getting new deals before anyone else.
Yeah.
So that was really weird, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. And we're there. So let's look at this new deal a little bit. 2 years, $30 million. There's a question about the guaranteed money, because some of the money is guaranteed in void years. And I believe that's not fully guaranteed money, but if you look at a site like OTC, it'll show up as guaranteed money there. Somebody else, Brian McFarland, somebody else who knows more about capology could look at that and probably explain under what circumstances is that guaranteed. But I think this is a case where the guaranteed money is slightly inflated by out-year guarantees that don't really exist. And the way it could exist is if the Ravens re-sign Henry for 2028 and later, which I think, what do you feel is the percentage chance of them wanting to do that?
28 and later after this one runs out?
After this one runs out.
Ken, you're asking me to be a little bit of a psychic there, because predicting three years ahead in the NFL is tough sledding. But I would think, because he's going to be 32, 34, age 34 year. Uh-huh. I mean, it would be truly unique if he was still producing at a level even close to what he is now. Now, I'm not ruling it out, but I just think the percentages are low. But then you ask yourself, well, could he still be a part of a shared backfield at that point or something in that regard? But after this one runs out, the new one runs out, I still think it's pretty low. I mean, that's a long time, especially in running back years at that age. So,
right. I agree. And I think one of the concerns I would have with the new contract is that they really need to make sure Henry plays in 27 and it doesn't become an old maid deal. Now, they've got base salaries are low in 25 and 26. He's still got $11 million in base salary in 27, plus a $1.9 million option and 9.24 of cap savings if he's cut prior to 27. So that's the pivot year on this. The Ravens don't want the Ravens really don't want two things. They don't want him to play so well that he comes back to them and holds out in 2027. They don't want that. They've given him enough of a base salary that I think the chance is very low of that occurring, but who knows? He could retire and then leave him holding the bag on some prorated money effectively. The other thing they don't want to do is have him as play drop off so much that they want to get rid of him, which is probably the larger possibility of the two. If I had to like set a probability on each, I'd say more like 40%, maybe 50%. The Ravens don't want his 2027 season, and about, maybe 20 to 25% that Henry thinks he's too good for that contract amount.
Yeah, I think what we talked about earlier with that 25 versus 19 amount of full guarantees, that's a pretty big difference. You know what I mean? Right. In that year, because if it was the higher number, you're in a little bit of a tough spot there. But if it's that lower number, like we just went over, then you actually can do some maneuvering. And I would tend to agree with you that, you know what I mean? That is the kind of the inflection point. You know what I mean? You would want them to obviously not to go that route, but if they had to, that lower 19 full guaranteed makes it much more palatable than versus the other number that I previously looked at on OTC.
Okay. And I really have to figure out if that's the case or not. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, why don't we move back there? Cause I think some of the, a couple of things are true about this. The Ravens have picked up some additional void money in their contract structure, not too terribly much relative to what you could have at other positions like quarterback, but it's going to change the Ravens' position in the rankings of void money to have this Henry money out there likely. And they have other contracts they need to consider. And I would have to bet a lot of those are going to have significant void money amounts.
Yes. And what struck me as odd when I was looking at this is the 2026 cap number being so low, because essentially you traded a little bit in 25 and more in 26 for that $10 million in void money in 2028. If you're just looking at it on a kind of a 30,000 foot view, I mean, his cap number in 2026 is only $5.59 million. Typically, you know, that goes ascending for the most part starting out the first year. So I just thought that was a little odd, but I'm sure they have a reason, you know, with their accounting or whatever, why they did that.
Yeah, they've looking at all their contracts and they're going to say, how much money do we have in year A, year B, and year C? I will say this, two things about this. One is the Ravens did not fail to make the Super Bowl because they didn't have the best roster. They've had the best roster each of the last two seasons. They've had one of the best rosters in the last 40 years for each of the last two seasons. And they just trip over themselves in the playoffs both years. There's not a player who's going to go out and get that will fix that. Is the issue. And Derrick Henry, you know, is one of the closest you can come in terms of a difference maker, you know, the Lamar Henry mesh point being what it is, in terms of an offensive weapon. Derrick Henry's one of the close players that you could, you know, pick up that would have that. But, you know, we look at all these things, pass rusher, cornerback, whatever it is. I mean, the Ravens, they don't need those things. They don't need their wants. For sure, but they do not need those things in order to win the Super Bowl this year. They can do it with their current roster. In fact, they have much more of a problem, in my mind. I think that you agree with this, too, based on our previous shows, that the 26 and 27 teams, they may lose some significant components and not have a lot of those key components to having immediately one of the best rosters in the NFL.
Yeah, and looking back, you know, obviously they tried to trade for Henry midseason before they signed him. So it's almost like the Ravens kind of knew what could come from this with Lamar Jackson next to him, because they attempted one time, failed. And then, you know, last offseason, they actually made it happen. And I could argue that they're looking forward ahead with that as well, saying we knew what this combination, you know what I mean, was going to do in that backfield. And we saw it, you know what I mean? And we don't have any reason to think outside of injury that it's going to change much with these two guys next to each other in the backfield playing off of each other. And but back to the roster, like you said, I mean, this roster is the best roster I've ever seen. Probably the Ravens have it. Now they just got to do it. They just have to complete the task and just limit those stupid turnovers in the playoffs. And this team can beat anybody.
Right. I'm in the same place, and you know, I'm kind of happy they're addressing a kind of weakness of the team with a player like Jair Alexander, but he's probably a good example of a thought to be enormous difference maker who probably, when it all comes down to it, is not going to play significantly different, or certainly is not significantly above the dollar values that the Ravens are giving him. You know, I find it really hard to believe he'll be more than, you know, a veteran player playing for market value in this year. He could be slightly better. You know, hey, he could play 14 games this year for the first time in however long it's been, and be a completely different player in terms of his health. But I still think it's a little unlikely that he'll move the needle as a free agent.
Yeah, I think when they signed him, you have to expect what you've seen out of him the past 2 years, unfortunately. I mean, and he just has missed so many games that if you get anything more, great. That's just a bonus. But that was the thought when you signed for that number, is you have to expect, you know what I mean, and then just hope for the best.
Right. And maybe we're probably looking at that in terms of Henry. I want to get to that in just a second. But Alexander reminds me in a lot of ways of some of the later career signings of Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith, they kept him around, very injury prone for the later part of his career. He'd play a few games, and he was always good when he played. But it was always a struggle to keep him on the field and keep him healthy. They talked about moving to safety, which would have been, as much as I love Jimmy Smith, the football player, he would have never lasted there, you know, with the physical concerns of the position. It's not like Marlon Humphrey that I think he could move there and be very good. Alexander, I think very similarly, he's an outside corner or nothing. And if he is the outside corner, he'll give you a pretty good level of play for whatever time he's out there. And hopefully that's enough to justify the $4 million they spent on him.
Yeah. Jimmy Smith is a perfect comp for him. Perfect. Perfect pedigrees, you know, what exactly perfect comp there.
All right. Now you did a write up on this. I really appreciate it, Paul. When you do a show, you always give me much more than we even have time to talk about, but that's great. It's good. We can fish through. We can talk about some things. This is fantastic. So you had it out in four categories, and I'll just let you introduce it. And I basically agree with all of your percentages. So to talk through it.
Great. So yeah, I broke it down into four kind of categories, trying to project what you would see production wise from Henry in those four different scenarios. First one would be, what are the odds?
For 25 only now.
Right. For 2025 only, just for the 2025 season. Number one, what are the chances he has more production than he had in 2025? Number two, what are the chances he basically replicates 2024 statistically? Number three, what are the chances he has a reasonably good year, but not quite the same production as he had last year? And then the fourth one was, what are the chances he has a significantly worse year, presumably maybe due to a small injury or something that knocks his production down a little bit.
Or a large injury.
I mean, or a large injury, correct.
Yeah. All right. And so you had for those, let's just each say our percentages on that. The chance that he has a better year than 2024, you have it what?
5-10% max. Like, that'd be tough to pull off.
I'm going to say zero. To the near 10%, certainly. It might be zero to the near 1%, honestly. And the reason I'd say is that he had the best single year of the 21st century in terms of what he did last year by measures like DVOA. And I don't think it's rational to think that he would have a better year than last year. I don't think there's any reason for it. I don't think his expectation for health would be lower. His expectation for drop off in play would be, you know, make it worse. Lamar could get hurt. That would change everything, of course. The Ravens offensive line could have a down year. They didn't have a great year this last year, but they could have a really down year if they took a step back. It's just, there could be a lot of things that can go wrong. And, you know, you have to come back to the fact that he's a 31-year-old running back this year.
Correct. You went a little deeper in the thought process than I did, but yeah, like I said, I thought I was being a little generous in some of these, especially with the higher end numbers. So yeah, you're probably right. It's probably 5% at the top, if anything.
Okay, now replicates the 2024 year statistically. And what I'd say is, for this, from my mind, 1,700 plus yards. I'll put it there. 12 plus touchdowns. That to me, he's not going to replicate everything. I really don't think he will, but 1,700 plus yards and 12 touchdowns. What percentage do you have on that?
I've got that at about 20%.
Okay. And I think that's right on the money. Maybe I'd say residually there might be a little bit, 25, to give him a little bit of the percentage you had in the basically matching the year again or exceeding it. So I'm basically in the same place as you. And then the third, he has a reasonably good year. Okay. So what's the bottom end of reasonably good for you? I'll tell you what I'm thinking on that.
I think 1,400, 1,500, say at the low end. Reasonably good compared to the 19 plus he had last year. Is that where you're at?
I would go lower than that. I'd say, if you got 1,200, missed up to four games, it doesn't have to miss four games. You get 1,200 in a full season. His yards per carry drop off to 5.0 instead of 5.9. That would be a year that's nearly as good. I think his success rate would still be in the low to mid 50s if he did that, which would be exactly what the Ravens need out of him. We'll get back to this in a second, but the Ravens, this new contract really pays him for 26 and 27 more than it pays him for 25. We already, in theory, the Ravens already had this year in the books. Yeah, and then how about
I'm just going to say, if he went down to 1,200, I would.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
I'd be concerned because I just think this offense, the diversity, the offense last year is pretty much running it back. That's a pretty steep drop off. And like you said, it would probably deal with injury in there as well because I don't see him playing 17 games and doing that. So yeah. But anyway, going to the fourth one.
Yeah, so the fourth category is he has a significantly worse year, and a lot of reasons this could happen, and we just cited some of them before we started talking about this, but significantly worse year, what percentage would you give? And cap that performance there for me.
I got 30% down, and a significantly worse year. Like I said, I think 1,200 is kind of in that range, maybe the low end, 900 to 1,000, if I had to put a low end number on it, but I would kind of qualify 1,200 as a significantly worse year coming off of 19 and 16 touchdowns.
Okay, so the cap on the significantly worse year is 1,200 yards, you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, say 9 to 1,200, something in that range.
Okay. It's a non-zero possibility that Henry ends up rushing for 250 yards this year. That's just the nature of football, is that you could get hurt and you don't know when it's going to happen. It's a non-zero possibility that Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt. We don't want to think about it, but that possibility exists there. One of the problems in loading up your roster in any particular year is that you end up getting burnt if you have a lot of injuries, and it's through no fault of your own other than you went for an all-in strategy and then you got burnt by injuries, which is kind of the fault of your own.
Yeah, I actually put that in my notes later about Lamar, because that could have a significant effect as well if Lamar went down. You know what I mean? I know your data backs it up, how valuable Lamar is to the running backs. So yep. That was factoring in my mind as well. Not just if Henry gets hurt, but what if Lamar gets hurt for a few games or is not playing for a few games? Yep. Then what happens? You know what I mean? When teams can really focus just on him and not have to worry about the dual threat.
Yep. I mean, Jackson has done it with plenty of other running backs. Henry's never done it with another quarterback. So that's the thing. I mean, Henry did have a great year a few years ago. We had a 56% success rate, but the 58.8 is the third highest ever for a running back. And there was a carry minimum that I had in there. That's a 250 carries, or might even been 230 carries. Just no one's ever done it. I mean, Gus Edwards is the all-time leader in that category, which that should right there tell you Lamar Jackson's having a huge impact on the running game. So anyway, it was a big step forward for him. And I think that obviously if Lamar were to go down, I think everything changes in terms of how effective the offense is. Big breaking news there that the Ravens will be less effective. Right. Lamar
Jackson is not. The domino effect would be large.
See, here's what I want to talk next about. You have a number of other contracts in here, and some of them wise, some of them not, for some older players. And you know, there's second contracts for running backs, so there's some question of the wisdom of any of them, of course. But the thing you're trying to do, I think, is compare Henry's value to some other players, and then discuss what kind of a market there might be for him after 2025 if he'd have decided to not, to play out his deal with the Ravens.
Correct. Yeah, that's really what I wanted to see. Like, okay, if he just played out the season and if you could fit him into one of those four categories, whichever it was, what would the market really be? I mean, typically for that age of a running back, we saw last offseason what we signed him for, the 2 years, $16 million. I don't care how good you are. There's really not much of a market. You know what I mean? If we're being honest. Now, are there outliers? Of course. But they are very few and far between. I mean, a lot of these guys have trouble getting signed 3-4 years younger to another contract, much less, you know, over the age of 30. So I just wanted to take a look at the other ones, where the top of the food chain kind of was as far as the average annual value, and kind of just try to think about where would he be, you know what I mean, if he just played out the rest of the year.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about it. So who are some of the comps in your opinion?
For Derrick Henry, there really aren't many for Derrick Henry because of his age. I mean, a lot of people want to do Saquon Barkley, but Saquon's 3 years younger. That is a huge 3 years when it comes to a running back. Yep. You know, that's what a lot of the kind of the offseason chatter was with the fans. Well, Saquon, they're not the same player right now. That 3 years is a big, big age difference. McCaffrey, I mean, he's 29. He's been battling injuries recently, so probably not going to work out too well for him on the next contract. If you're looking for comps for Derrick Henry, you can find me one, because I really can't as far as his production and his age.
I guess here's the $64 million question maybe for Henry would be this, is can he get another team to buy into the notion that he'll be just as good or he'll be close to as good without Lamar Jackson?
That is the question, Ken. And I feel like if Ken McKusick has those numbers supporting the Lamar effect, I suspect other teams do as well, as much as they have their eyeballs. Yep. So that is truly the big question. Would there be another team out there who said, we can take Derrick Henry away from the Ravens and expect to get the same or even close to the same performance when he's not next to Lamar Jackson? Because previous to being not next to Lamar Jackson the couple years before that, he wasn't there. You know what I mean? So all the evidence suggests that Lamar is really an X factor as far as his production is concerned.
Right. I agree. I don't think there's any pocket passer who will do for Henry what Lamar did for him. And in a lot of ways, the team that might make most sense for Henry is the team that just signed Barkley. You know, it's the Eagles with Jalen Hurts, with their big offensive line, with, you know, the non-complete commitment to passing, with a dominant defense that you're going to want to run out a bunch of games. I mean, that's the kind of team that would really value him. The Detroit Lions have a bunch of young running backs. They could be in the category, but they don't have a particularly mobile quarterback. You know, it wouldn't be a team like the Rams is completely the wrong fit for a player like Henry with their sort of quarterback. I don't know if he makes sense for the Chiefs or not. I really don't. It would certainly hurt from a fear perspective if he went to the Chiefs, but there just aren't a lot of teams around the league that he'd be a good fit for.
There's only one Lamar Jackson, Ken, and you might have some other quarterbacks who move and can scramble like Mahomes, but the threat level of Lamar Jackson is unlike any other quarterback in the NFL, even with Jalen Hurts. I mean, again, he can run, but he's not running like Lamar Jackson. He's not as deadly in that mode as Lamar Jackson is. So I just think it's few and far between, if any, other teams you could pair him with and expect, you know what I mean, the same impact.
Right. It'd be really interesting to see how much he – I don't want to see this happen, by the way, but if he went to Buffalo, how much of a drop-off he'd have in his play playing with Josh Allen. But I think that would probably be likely, that he wouldn't have the leverage that he has with the Jackson mesh point. Let's go back to talking about a different kind of leverage, though. Did he have anything here? Like, was he in a position to hold the – first of all, I guess there's multiple ways. Was he in a position to hold the Ravens up? So I want to hear your thoughts on that. And second of all, was he in a position to demand more money just relative to market for 26 and 27? So he's essentially – his cap number actually comes down by a little bit, but the Ravens end up really paying for it in 26 and 27. Did he have the leverage for such a thing? Now, he made the deal, so maybe that inherently says he did, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I don't think he did. I really don't think he did, because, again, they have to understand that he got a bump by being here. We are probably extending his career, you know what I mean, into the future, whereas another team, you could have seen a steady drop-off. So when you factor all that in, and you factor the age, and you factor the position, it's going to be real hard for him to have that type of leverage to make demands, you know what I mean, in that subject area. I just don't see how he had any real leverage like that, considering all these other factors that are present with the Ravens that might and are probably not present with other teams. And again, you go back to the age and all that stuff. I just don't think he did. And like I said, maybe there are things we don't know that went on behind the scenes, but even if there were, like, what is his really angle? You know what I mean? Is he going to really make a stink, really hold out on this team at this time after coming off of that year? I mean, I tend to think not.
It would be decidedly a bad move, I think, from a lot of perspectives. Right. He'd get advice from his people not to do that. But one of them being, a year off at age 31 is a very bad thing for a running back. And we've seen how bad a thing it is for a receiver. It's a lot worse for a running back. We saw Dez Bryant try and get back into the league. And other players have been suspended. Who's the Browns receiver who had one big year, but he became a free agent when he's about 30?
Josh Gordon.
We see what happens with some of these guys who spend time out of the league. They're not coming back. Even the guys who did for the Ravens this last year, I mean, they had several, Anthony Miller being one of them, who hadn't had a catch in a couple of years. The last guy I can really remember who was successful coming back from a multi-year absence, and he'd been around, he'd been on the team, is Kadri Ishmael. I mean, he went 2 years without a catch, and then he came back, and he was still under 30 when that happened. He might have been 29, but it was there haven't been a lot of wide receivers who've come back from that either.
Yeah, and if you take your extreme example, okay, is Derrick Henry really going to sit out and not play? All things, you know, not change. Is that really – that's not going to happen. It's not.
You do have to deal with that. In the business world, you have to deal with that all the time. You have to really figure, how much have I over a barrel here if someone comes in and tells you they have another offer? You know, do they really want to go? Does it make sense for them? You do have to figure it. It's a wide open market. Everybody's a free agent at all times, obviously in the regular working world, with some exceptions. But the basically, you know, you need to factor that in every time you do it. All right, I got one more topic I want to hit on before we call this, and that is, you have two players who impacted each other. You have Jackson impacting Henry, and we've seen a big bump in terms of Henry's productivity. But Jackson also had, arguably, or perhaps not even arguably, his best season. The 2019 season is very close in terms of how good it was. Certainly it was another MVP season, but I think most people would probably say that the 24 season was even better. Is there an argument that Derrick Henry made Lamar Jackson better by as much as he was made better by Lamar Jackson?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. By as much? I'm not sure, but could they have benefited each other? Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely would not discount that. I mean, I think that is clear, because, you know, one's working off the other. You know what I mean? If attention goes one way, then attention's, you know, not going the other way. So as much though, that's a tough question. I would tend to lean no, but I definitely would not dismiss, you know, the impact it had on Lamar, considering Lamar is literally coming off, like you said, his arguably best season of his career. So I definitely don't want to, you know, minimize that impact, but I don't think it's as much, you know what I mean, as it is the other way around.
Okay. By the way, that's where I am as well. I think that, you know, that if I had to just like put it into parts and whatnot, I think Derrick Henry benefited about twice as much as Lamar Jackson benefited this last year. If I had to just say it, I think Lamar is the more exceptional, more extreme athlete. And we see it on a lot of other plays that don't involve Derrick Henry at all. In fact, a lot of plays where Derrick Henry is not even on the field, and we still see Lamar Jackson making a difference with other players and other defenses. This is good. But anyway, a great move for Derrick Henry to sign in Baltimore, a fantastic original signing for the Ravens. And in terms of the new signing, we did to say one other thing is he signed for 3 more years here to play in Baltimore. If he were to stay on the roster to start the season for each of those 3 years, such that the there's no cut that creates cap space in 27 in particular. What is your expectation for the number of quality years they'll get from Derrick Henry over those three?
If he's on the roster in that third year. Okay. If he's on the roster in that third year, we have to assume that he was pretty darn good the year before that. So probably in the high ones, you know what I mean? Okay. If we're being honest, near two, because again, that's that inflection point. So if he's back again under the same contract, presumably, that means he's pretty much had probably 2 good years or 2 relatively good years. So that's kind of where I put it, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's very reasonable. I do think there's risk of injury each of the years that would reduce it certainly from 3 to something under 2. If you want to put me at 1.6 or 1.7, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. If anybody out there is trying to pin me down on a number, that I think the Ravens probably get 1 injured year out of these 3 from Henry. He had 1 in the last 3 where he only played 8 games for Tennessee. And before he came to Baltimore. And I think he would stands a very good chance to have a season of the 3 that is close to as good as what he did last year. And if that were to happen in the second year, like you said, that kind of automatically makes the option decision a little bit easy in terms of that third year. And so they're not independent events. I can't add my possibility of each of those 3 happening independently and just add that up to what it is. And I think, you know, 1.6, 1.7 is perfectly reasonable there. I want to contrast that to when the Ravens signed Elvis Dumervil after the 2012 season. And so they signed him for 2013. It was a 5-year deal. That was after Faxgate. And the Ravens are getting Dumervil, who'd had a couple of really enormous years and a bunch of years where he hadn't been as good. I want to go back to Dumervil and just see how good had he been.
How old was he when we signed him? Was he?
He was 29 when he staged 29 season. And so he actually played 4 of the 5 years. He basically played a full season, 15, 16, 16, 16. And then he had 1 year of 8 games, 2 Pro Bowls, and an AP1 in 2014 when he had the 17 sacks. But my feeling about it was that we were going to get 1 top shelf year out of Dumervil. We actually might have done better than that because he didn't have to have 10 sacks in all those years to have a top shelf year. He's a hell of a pass rusher. That they're going to get 2 years of some kind of sputtering production, and then they're going to get probably 2 years where he was hurt or at the tail end that he was cut for cap purposes. And he ended up actually outperforming, I think, that contract. I don't think Zay Dowdy outperformed the contract, but he stayed with the Ravens for all 5 years.
That's amazing to sign a 29-year-old free agent
He stayed for 4. They cut him before 2017, and San Francisco picked him up for that last year. So he played 15, 16, 16 for the Ravens and then played 8 games in his final year. They were kind of managing his snap count better, I thought, with the Ravens, something they do very well, taking rotational players, reducing, like Campbell, they did the same thing with, kind of reducing his snap count and getting more productivity on a per-snap basis. So, you know, anyway, I think – Dumervil is a guy who also outplayed the contract. If they got a Dumervil-esque result, and the thing we've seen is the 2014 season is the opposite number of Henry's 2024, the contract's still going to be okay. Because Dumervil is a hell of a player for two more years for the Ravens, and then in that third year, he dropped off. He only played 8 games. That would not be out of line for my expectation for this, and I think that would be reasonably good.
Totally agree. All
right. Paul, always a pleasure talking football with you. Tell folks where they can follow you online, on Twitter or wherever else.
So my new Twitter handle is at Lamar vs. Allen. So that should be interesting tweets for the next 10 years or so. And it's Purple Kool-Aid Drinker's name. I'm there all the time talking Ravens, and follow me, hit me up. And always love talking Ravens football.
All right. Outstanding, Paul. Other folks out there, still a little bit of time to get some film study shorts in. Got a bunch that we're recording this week. Love to hear from you if you've got a topic you're passionate about. Somebody wants to talk about the possibility of a retractable roof in Baltimore. Paul, of course, had this. And we've got some other good ones relating to late round wide receiver draft picks, to what to expect out of the Ravens secondary this year. But give me that little corner of the Ravens that you're really passionate about and tell me what it is you'd like to talk about. Hit me up in a DM and I'll get right back to you. Paul, thanks again for coming on.
No problem. Thank you, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.